entertainment writer John Wirt. 23 years he worked for The Advocate, and now he writes for all publications far and wide, and he is joining us today for a few reasons, and happy Memorial Day to you, John.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Well, Greg Allman, the vocal force behind the emergence of Southern rock, died at 69 years old Saturday at his home in Savannah. He leaves quite a legacy.
Yes, Jim. Yeah, the Allman Brothers Band, and then later Greg Allman as a solo artist, were, you know, major figures in American music for since the formation of the Allman Brothers Band in 1969. And Greg, with Greg dying, there's only one original member of the Allman Brothers Band left alive, and that's J-Mo Johansson, I should say. And J-Mo and Derek Trucks were the two drummers in the Allman Brothers, because the Allman Brothers Band, yes, they had two drummers, and it so happens that it's Butch Trucks who was the original member, not Derek. Butch Trucks died in January of this year, so again, J-Mo Johansson is the only Allman Brothers surviving.
Well, Greg Allman had a full life, lots of drugs, women, married to Cher, and a great musical legacy as well. Your favorite Greg Allman production?
Well, I love the Allman Brothers Fillmore in Concert album. That's one. It's a double album.
At Fillmore East?
Classic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Allman Brothers Fillmore East. And that, of course, features Duane Allman. And Duane Allman was the guitarist. And Greg's a brother. Unfortunately, he died so young, just as the Allman Brothers were achieving major, major fame. In British, it was 1971.
Right.
So what a great tragedy to have lost Duane so young, but his legacy, you know, goes on and on.
1971, October 29th, Duane Allman killed in a motorcycle accident, but Greg Allman kept going, and in 1973, he had his biggest commercial success with this piece of music. I think you'll recognize it, John Wirt. It's part of the rock heritage that lives on years after its production, 44 years to be exact, and I'm sure people will be listening to this for a long, long time. Greg Allman's vocals today in the New York Times, as Obit reads, by turns squalling and brooding, took their cue from anguish demoting of down-home blues singers like Elmore James, as well as from more sophisticated ones like Bobby Bland. He had quite a distinctive sound, didn't he, John?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that I was able to attend and review the final Greg Allman show in Baton Rouge, and that was in January of 2012, and it was a very nice show. And even then, you know, he'd had serious illness and a liver transplant, hepatitis C. He was already dealing with a lot of health issues, and he canceled a lot of shows in 2011. But in 2012, he was back out on the road, and one of the shows he played was at the Baton Rouge River Center. And again, it was a very nice show, and he was riding high pretty much at that time because he had a new album produced by the great T-Bone Burnett, and he was about to release his autobiography. So, yeah, that was a nice show. And people appreciated it, although they kept yelling for Allman Brothers songs, and I don't know why they kept yelling the names of other members of the Allman Brothers who were, in fact, dead. So it was already strange.
Yeah, well, he had an eclectic group of fans. Now, in a few days, Paul McCartney turns 75, June 18th, he'll be 75. He's still out there performing and does a three-hour show wherever he goes. And it was 50 years ago that he and the Beatles were at the top of the charts with perhaps their best-known recording of many great recordings, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Why is this one perhaps remembered more reverently than any other? It was released on the 26th of May, 1967. So as of Friday, it is now 50 years old, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. John?
Well, I think it might have been released June 1st, but on May 26th, they released all the special edition, 50th anniversary special editions, and the most expensive of those is quite elaborate, and six discs set, in fact. But the album at the time was very, very innovative. A lot of us had never heard anything like that before. For one thing, it was conceived to be an entire album, not just an entire statement, not just a collection of unrelated songs. So the whole thing was linked by the whole Sgt. Pepper theme. And it was a concept album, which was a new idea at the time in 1967, 50 years ago. And the concept was that the Beatles would pretend to be this imaginary band called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And they introduced themselves as Sgt. Pepper's Band, and then there was a refrain near the end where they came back in as Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And of course, the music was innovative. The songs it's really quite a variety show. There's When I'm 64, which is this cute sort of 30s, 20s kind of sound, and then there's the rock songs like Sgt. Pepper is a rock song, and A Day in a Life, which is an epic multi-section song with all kinds of innovative musical things, such as the long ending. Mm-hmm. And the final chord at the end, which is actually four people banging an E major chord on four different keyboards. And they electronically make it sustain much longer than it normally would. So they were doing all kinds of innovative things there. And it's actually not my favorite Beatles album, but it is a real landmark as far as its creativity.
Well, A Day in the Life has vocals with Lennon and McCartney, but there are songs on the album with vocals from all four Beatles. Do you know them?
Well, there's, with a little help from my friends, you have Ringo singing lead.
There you go.
And it's very cute, and you have the other guys singing backup.
And then McCartney's on several of them.
Almost a call and response.
McCartney's on several of them, as he was on all Beatles albums, including...
He dominates this album. This is his concept.
But perhaps...
He does dominate it.
Perhaps the best-known song in the album is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Was it really about LSD, John Wirt?
No, the famous story is that John Lennon saw his son Julian drawing pictures. And John asked Julian, what is that a picture of? He said... And Julian, who's maybe 5 years old at the time, says, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So John got that directly from his...
All right, let's hear a little of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which was the third track on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
John Lennon is the voice, and he's also on a few other tracks. John?
Yeah.
George Harrison was in Within You, Without You. He's the lead on that one, so all four Beatles are featured. But what were you going to say, John?
You know what I've forgotten? Sorry.
Well, John Lennon, by the way, at the end of the 20th century, was named as one of the 10 great vocalists in history of music by the BBC, and Paul McCartney was not. They skipped over Paul, and
it's hard to unusual.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the BBC would do that. Frank Sinatra, by the
McCartney
way,
has a,
was number one.
McCartney has a beautiful voice, and, I mean... Not so much now, although I think for 75, 76, he's certainly holding up well.
Yeah. Well, what about Bayou Country Superfest. No Bayou Country Superfest in Baton Rouge this year. The hotels are largely empty on Memorial Day. It was quite a blow when they moved from Tiger Stadium.
That was a major event, the biggest music event I ever know of happening in Baton Rouge was Bayou Country Superfest. And, of course, Tiger Stadium is undergoing renovation for 2 years, and they told Festival Production, sorry, we can't have you for the next 2 years. I don't know if they said sorry, but they said, you know, we can't have you because of this renovation. So they got 60,000 people down there at the Superdome this weekend for Superfest, and that's about average of what they've gotten during the 8 years of the festival. And I covered the first six festivals at Tiger Stadium. And yeah, I was surprised that Baton Rouge could produce something as big as this. But you know, Festival Productions and AEG Live, these are major players in music across, you know. So if anybody could produce a big show in Baton Rouge, it was them, and they certainly did for those years.
And got lots of tax breaks.
Especially when they brought
up
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they got lots of tax breaks, but my guess is that they're gone for good, John.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that's Quint Davis's hometown, New Orleans, and he'll probably roll merrily along, but it was fun while it lasted. And it's always good to talk with you. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jim.